Did the Brits kill Alexei Navalny? That's what my guest today says may have happened because there are some fingerprints if we're brave enough to follow them. It's not the craziest thing. The West supported Navalny all along. They called him Vladimir Putin's main opposition. We know that was not true. My guest today has been warning us about escalation with Russia for decades, Gilbert Doctorow. He's the author on many books about Russian-U.S. relations. He has a new book out called The Belgian Perspective on International Relations. Thank you for joining us again. I introduce you to Gilbert Doctorow.
My pleasure to join you.
Okay, so let's get right down to it. You say that the Brits benefit the most from a false flag in the concept of cui bono. Who benefits? Can you explain that?
Well, the Brits benefit because they are the leading force for the American war on Russia now. The Brits are very deeply involved. There is every reason to believe that the successful strikes on Russian Black Sea Fleet naval vessels by surface or submarine drones launched ostensibly by Ukrainians were actually delivered and possibly even fired by British instructors and advisors on site. The British have done what they can over the last 2 years to cause disruption in Russia, to cause physical harm to Russian armed forces, and to discredit the Russian government in every imaginable way. What we see in looking at the Navalny case is precisely that last type of activity of the Brits. If we go back to the period of Bush Jr., when the Iraq War was facilitated, was enabled by the British joining, coming to the aid of Bush, when so many other countries were sharply criticizing the United States and denying it the backing of the UN, which it so sought. If we go back to then, it was common to say that Tony Blair was the American lapdog. What we see now in British behavior is more like the Hound of the Baskervilles. I think they have moved out from under the American umbrella and are at their own risk and peril, going very far in pursuing what is a barely concealed war on Russia. And they do this in the expectation that the Russians will not respond. That is an expectation that is wearing thin, and I would be happy to get to that bit further. But I'd like to put this...
Wait, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
So what you're saying is that the British could be motivated to do this on their own, even though usually we see them as a lapdog of the United States policy, and that Russia could actually respond by saying, if you did this, Alexei Navalny, as odious as he was still one of our own, and we will respond. That would be unthinkable from the narrative that we know.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out the latest news.
Okay.
It is highly likely. I'm obliged to use Theresa May's famous highly likely, which was what she used persistently in finding the Russians guilty of everything imaginable. It is highly likely that the Russians have already responded. You will note in today's news that the Houthis have sunk a British naval vessel in the Red Sea. I will wager that they did that with Russian arms. In the last 2 days, on the highly respected and widely followed talk show, an evening with Vladimir Solovyov, the host himself said, you know, to the West, you are pursuing proxy wars against us. Beware, we are also capable of pursuing proxy wars against you. And you note the sinking of a Qatari oil transport in the Red Sea a couple of days ago. As some of you have mentioned, we don't know who supplied them with the arms. We don't know. So I would wager that the Russians have already done something they've talked about a long time, to sink British Navy vessels without any chance of being made to pay a price.
Wow. Okay. One of the things the Western, or I'm sorry, the Russians have said was, why did the West come out within hours of Navalny's death and say, oh, we absolutely know who did it and how they did it? Now they're bringing out the sort of old playbook of Novichok. It's almost trite to use Novichok. What you pointed out is it's the British who have Novichok. The United States do too, but the Russians haven't made it since I think the 80s or 90s, correct?
That's correct. It's very good that you mentioned the Skripal case, because that was one of two or three points that I will call circumstantial evidence that I say links the Brits to what happened to Mr. Navalny. It was the what happened, his death was not just any day of the week or any month of the year. It was very well timed for several important anniversaries and for what was going on in the midst of news of Navalny's death. That what was going on in the midst of the death was the Munich Security Conference, where the great and the mighty of the collective West were assembled for the purpose of condemning Russia's war and for shaking down the U.S. Congress for further financial and military aid to Ukraine. So that was one point of the interesting date when Navalny was put to death. Another point, it takes us back to the British directly. The Skripal case occurred in March of 2018, just less than a month before the presidential elections for which Mr. Putin was standing for re-election. We are now in the month of March, on the 17th, 15th to the 17th of March, there are new Russian presidential elections. Once again, we have a suspicious death. Once again, there is talk of perhaps poisoning. And the British are masters of this. This would be, the British have lost their armies. They have lost their empire. They are in the course of losing what's little left of their fleet. But they have been and remain world-class planners and implementers of what we call false flag operations. And the death of Navalny is a false flag operation perpetrated by some outside force. Let us assume that I'm right, and it's the British, and laid at the door of Mr. Putin. That's a false flag.
Yes. Although I'm gonna put this small, let's just leave room for this one doubt. If you read the Jacques Bode book, he talks about the blood work that was published by The Lancet, by the German hospital, which showed that he was not otherwise a healthy person. He was on medications that may have been related to either Parkinson's, cancerous tumors, or both. Is there maybe a possibility that he just it was his time. I don't know. He still was pretty young. I don't put a lot of stock into that either. Your face shows no.
Yeah. Well, look, the timing is just too good. As I said, it's the anniversary of the Skripal case in a former Russian election. The Skripal case is all about Novichok, which was being made in a chemical warfare laboratory very close to Salisbury, where they were, where the Skripal father and daughter fell ill. And we have the coincidence that Mr. Navalny's wife, now widow, who just happened to be in Munich at the time so that she could make a guest appearance and condemn Mr. Putin for his vicious murder of her husband. These are very nice coincidences. But let's go back to your question about his being ill. Yes, he was a sick man. Some of it may have been from genetic or other bad luck, illness, chronic illnesses that he came down with. But it is also widely known that Mr. Navalny took narcotics. It is also known that his, because people have asked, oh, how could the Brits possibly have brought some poison into this very remote place under close watch? It was a high security prison colony, after all. How could they do that? Well, I'd like to mention one detail that Mr. Navalny's lawyer saw him 2 days before he died, and it is not inconceivable that he was used, he was duped by British intelligence agents or other intelligence agencies to give Mr. Navalny some medication or some narcotics or well, who knows what, which he took in good faith. Now, the other possibility, which is I think is very real, an answer to questions again, how could the British do this, is that the British have very close cooperation with Ukrainian intelligence agents across Russia, and there are many such agents. We know that because of very little discussed but real cases of sabotage that are going on daily in various places across the enormous expanse of the Russian Federation. And these cases of sabotage, of course, are being carried out by people in the pay of Ukrainian intelligence agents or the agents themselves. They are all native Russian speakers. They can pass for Russians without any problem. There's no Cockney accent to pick up or betray them. And no minority migrant faces calling themselves Brits to show up in Russia. No. These are native speakers. They will go anywhere. And if you come to that place, if you come in the near to this prison camp, money will certainly get you what you want, access to inmates. And inmates will, for money, very happily murder Mr. Navalny. So it's no great difficulty. If the will is there, the way is there.
This is like a cross between Stranger Things and a Bourne movie. It's so compelling as a spy story, but tragic that it's true. Now, here's the last question I'd like to ask. Is there a possibility that the US government is alarmed by this possibility that their lapdog has gone rogue, the United Kingdom? And is there any way that maybe they could call back the dogs?
I don't believe there is. The other lapdog, although it's a bit peculiar to apply to it, to Israel, the title lapdog, the other country that receives massive support and is America's closest ally in the region, Israel, is out of control. The Biden administration is unable to bring Netanyahu's government to heel. So in this real situation that is operating in parallel to, but separate from what we are now discussing, the United States cannot control this agent. So why should we be surprised if the British government is out of US control?
Yikes. Okay, this is so fascinating. I want to say thank you again for bringing this to our attention, and suggest that our audience go to gilbertdoctorow.com to follow his works, his essays, and also I believe you have a new book coming out about the Ukraine conflict as well, right?
Yes, in the next 3 or 4 months, I'll be publishing, republishing essays that I've written in the last 2 years, as kind of diaries, war diaries. So I hope that readers will find that to be useful as well.
I find your work very useful. I even read your old works about Russia because it helps me to see that the writing has been on the wall and this sort of, oh, Putin all of a sudden did these crazy things. It's just a stupid narrative that the West assumes that those of us who haven't followed it are stupid enough to buy. So thank you again for coming back on Redacted, and I hope to have you on again another time.
Thanks for the invitation.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.